This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, whether that's Rovers throwing in a drab 0-0 in the Championship or taking Newcastle all the way to a penalty shootout in the fifth round of the FA Cup, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So, the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18+. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This episode is brought to you by Pepsi Wild Cherry. Pepsi Wild Cherry is bursting with delicious cherry flavor and a sweet, crisp taste that gives you more to go wild for. Getting wild may look different these days, but whether it's opting for a solo Friday binge watch or a big night out, everyone can indulge in their wild side with Pepsi Wild Cherry, also available in Zero Sugar. So grab a Pepsi Wild Cherry and get wild.
Hello, this is Sam Smodix here, and welcome to the 4,000 Holes podcast.
You are listening to the 4,000 Holes podcast, brought to you by the people at brfcs.com and sponsored by the lovely people at The Terrace.
Hello and welcome to the 4,000 Holes podcast, the What Now show with me, your host Roger Whiteside, joined by a bumper August panel this evening, joined by Michael, Ian, Catherine, James, Holly and Matt. And we've got a really interesting show lined up for you, as normal, with our usual three sections, although this time it's actually going to be four, and that is going to be because we're going to have a little quiz at the end, so hopefully plenty to keep you entertained over the next half hour or so. In topic one, we're going to be having a look at August, the August review, seeing as we played all the league matches in August for 2023. In section two, we'll be having a look at who's hot and who's not, returning to a topic we covered halfway through last season, the players trending up and players trending down, who started the season well, who perhaps has been a little bit of a disappointment. And in topic three, we're going to have a look at transfers, which of course is the big topic that every Rovers fan is talking about, and such an important week ahead for the club with incomings and outgoings, hopefully more incomings than outgoings, but hopefully a big week for the club and the fans. And of course, I did tease it before, in section four, we're going to be having a quiz with resident quizmaster Ian Herbert. Ian, great to have you on the show as normal, one of our regular panelists here on the What Now show. You've also got some important news about a Tony Parks inspired Rover shirt, and where fans and supporters can get one.
Thanks, Roger. Yeah, great to be on again. We'll look forward to the quiz later on, but this is a shameless plug, really. We are selling Tony Parks' 1973-74 retro shirts on brfcs.com. So following hot on the success that was the 1960s retro shirts, it was great bumping into a number of people from BRFCS at pre-season friendlies wearing the shirts. We did have it warm enough weather at one point to wear the short sleeve. But we're doing the 73-74 one. So the difference between the 60s and this one is in the design. It's all white sleeves. It's the trendy at the time in the 70s. It's like winged collar that's halved. And these are being printed with a red number 10 on the back as a tribute to Tony. And the most important thing about this is every shirt sold, BRFCS will donate £5 towards Tony's ongoing care costs. So the shirts are selling reasonably well, but we are taking orders through to September 13th. So if you're thinking about it, or you want to buy an early Christmas present for a Rovers fan, perhaps of that generation, then pop along to brfcs.com/store. That's brfcs.com/store. and you will see there that you have the ability to buy one of these shirts. They're available short sleeve, long sleeved, and they cost £30. As I say, £5 of that goes to Tony. If you want to make a donation but you don't want to make a shirt, there is a, sorry, you don't want to buy a shirt, not make a shirt. That would be ridiculous. If you want to make a donation, you can click on the donation product that's on the site as well and just give a sum to Tony's ongoing care costs. So if you like the idea of helping a Rovers legend, a true Rovers legend, but you don't necessarily want one of the shirts, you have that option. So just to finish, brfcs.com/store.
And welcome back, and let's get started with tonight's show. Topic number one is the August review. All the league games for August 2023 are now in the history books. A home win against West Brom was followed up by an away point at the New York Stadium against Rotherham. Then we played Hull at Ewood Park, where of course we lost 2-1. And finally, the inspired performance yesterday away at Vicarage Road and a 1-0 win against Watford. Matt, I'm going to come straight to you, one of our regular panellists here. Talk to me about August. How happy are you? How satisfied are you? Seven points from four games? Not a bad start?
Yeah, I think I've seen a lot more that I've liked than what... And there's not very much that I haven't liked, first and foremost, from the games that we've played so far in the league. I think the fact that we're scoring goals... It was a big concern for me going into the season, but we're yet not to score in a game after the first month. So, you know, I think it's good that we've got goals, and I think it's good that the young players are playing well, but they're also being... There's a bit of everything, I think, with Hedges chipping in yesterday, which perhaps he hasn't done too much until yesterday. But yeah, like I say, it's been very positive. I think there's lots of moments you can pick out as big moments, and I think there'll be moments that we've seen already, especially at Rotherham with the two goals from Smodics, that we'll look back on at the end of the season as like some of the best moments of the season already. So I think, I think it's been a really good, positive first month for the season.
Holly, come to you next. Your thoughts on the opening month?
Like Matt said, I think we can take a lot of positives from August. I will put my hands up and say I wasn't expecting a lot from the start of the season and from the season as a whole, to be honest. I think I've said many times on this podcast that squad depth is a real issue for Rovers, and it continues to be. I was sat there thinking, where are the goals going to come from? So to say that we've scored in every game that we've played so far was a massive surprise to me, and one that I will take with open arms, to be honest. Obviously, the Rotherham game, going 2-0 down and thinking, well, this is how the season's going to go then, is it? And then, yeah, obviously, Smodics took his first half performance very personally and wanted that redemption in the second half and got it. And I think that tenacity and that grit is something that I think we've been lacking for a few seasons. And I think if that's something that we can hold on to and something that we can, as a team, replicate as individuals and a team, then I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, some great points as well. Obviously, the Rotherham game, important to, as you touched on there, about how Rovers last season didn't come from behind to win until, I think I'm right in saying it was the last game of the season away at Millwall was the only time they came from behind. I know we didn't beat Rotherham, but to come from two down, get that performance, we probably should have won it at the end of the game as well with Pickering's fine chance. Come to you, Michael, talking about the one defeat of the calendar month of August in the league at home against Hull. And again, even one of those games where actually Rovers fans were pretty pleased, pretty proud of the performance coming off, obviously with Pickering getting sent off. It has been an encouraging start, don't you agree?
It does. You have to take the performance from the Hull City game. I think even their manager said that we were a pretty decent side. One thing I hoped for last season was that it's such a young team, as the manager's always reminding us. And yet it was still those kind of moments of lack of concentration and naivety that actually led to the two goals. And I thought maybe we'd got over those after last season. I hate pointing fingers and putting blame and freeze framing it and saying who should have done what. But for me, I do think that was a defensive lapse of concentration that a more experienced backline with someone like Daniel Ayala in it maybe wouldn't have conceded in the way that we did towards the end of that game. We did enough to have won it. The performance was good. Just like Holly said, the character right through the team at Rotherham. I mean, all the ripples are at half-time, at 1-0 down and then going 1-0, then going 2 down pretty soon afterwards. all the talk, and after Smodics had missed the penalty, was that he'd be coming off. And yet, Yondal made some incredible substitutions in that game, and most potently of all, Smodics wasn't one of them. I mean, what a piece of man management that was, to have actually lit that flame under him and for him to have turned in a performance like that, which, frankly, we could have gone on to win the game.
The League Cup matches as well, because there's been a victory at Ewood against Walsall, which is 4-3. A very entertaining, if albeit disjointed, performance from a very youthful side. And of course, Rovers fans get to look forward to a trip to the Envirovent Stadium. I think that's correct in saying that. Yeah, just touch on that, Holly. Come back down the line. You were a big fan of the Rovers Cup performances last year. I know you made some of the long trips down. Was it London to see West Ham with Lynn's fellow podcaster and some others? Is it important that Rovers keep the momentum in the cups going and keep the young players coming through at Harrogate on Wednesday?
Yeah, 100%. I think it adds so much to not only that experience for the younger players, sometimes it's just game time for people coming back into the team. I think it adds, when you're on a good cup run, the club feels good. When you're scoring and going away to big teams like West Ham, and Leicester, like, we had a dream cup run last year. And if we can replicate that either in the EFL Cup or the FA Cup this year, doesn't need to be both, we're not picky. I would absolutely take one. It's brilliant. It really brings the fans together, it brings the teams together. And I think that's something with Mowbray that we really, really lacked, because we all know that he didn't really care about the cup. Whereas it's been a breath of fresh air, really, thinking JDT's come in here and actually wants to win something. Let's try this. Let's give it our all. So yeah, hoping for a win on Wednesday.
And of course, players like Joe Rogan Costello last year obviously played in the cups and came through and became a permanent fixture. Yeah. Let's hope maybe Zach Gilson and or some of the other, Jake Garrett had a very good game against Walsall. Although one of those moments where the guy next to me at the match, he slated Garrett, and then about an hour later, he said, "You know what, Garrett's having quite a good game." And the ball came to Garrett in midfield, and he pinged it straight out of play. Talk about the commentator's curse. I just want to come back to you, Matt, just to finish on topic one and just an August review, but in a sense of a rounder championship review, because I know you're a big fan of the EFL and the championship. Which teams have impressed you? I mean, obviously, you've got some teams at the top there. Leicester, Birmingham started very well. Hull, I thought, looked pretty impressive and made some astute signings. Is there anybody that you feel Rovers fans should be looking out for in the championship?
I mean, before the season, if you look at anyone's predictions, really, everybody was really hyped about Ipswich, and it wasn't really something that I saw. I didn't look into it too much. I just thought they'd have I thought they'd stay up, but I didn't think they'd do much more. But already what I've seen from Ipswich, you know, it's really took me by surprise. And I think that they'll definitely be up there in that top six battle, which is thoroughly impressive, especially considering our opinion of one of their players. Rovers fans, you know, if you said George Hurst was scoring on his first game of the season to a Rovers fan, you'd think they were mad. But yeah, he seems to be doing really well on that side. And Ipswich have caught me by surprise this season, so they're the ones I'd be looking out for.
And some of the teams down there, I mean, Middlesbrough, they've had a tough start. You back Carrick to turn that around? Obviously, we hope it's not the next match, because that's the next match at Ewood, isn't it? Rovers against Middlesbrough, or Sunderland, Middlesbrough, they play them both pretty quickly together.
Yeah, I think you look at how Middlesbrough did last year, and you look at some of their key players, and I don't want to say it, 'cause it's what a lot of people say, but they did have a lot of players in on loan who were their best performers. And I do think they've had a decent window, but, you know, they've struggled at the beginning. I'm not sure they've got the spark that they had last year, and the belief within the squad seems to have gone, maybe because of all the players have gone. And I think Akpom leaving as well, that'll be a huge, huge miss for him. There was a lot of, I thought anyway, there was question marks around whether he could do it again for another year. And well, he definitely won't, because he's not here anymore. So I think they will struggle, but I think they'll get themselves back out of there, yeah.
Very one final point. There was one performance at Watford at the weekend that I think's worth noting, that of the referee, Gavin Ward. I don't think I've ever come away from a Rovers match happy with Gavin Ward's performance as referee. And yet yesterday, no complaints.
The season is young, Michael. We will play this clip back to you in January when the worm turns, so to speak. Yeah, indeed. Thanks, Ollie, Matt and Michael for section one. Stick around for section two, where we'll be looking at who's hot and who's not.
I'm a sushi chef. I also happen to be a cat. How'd I get here? Adobe Photoshop. It turned a cute kitty like me into a sashimi master. And it can make your images look amazing, too. In just a few clicks, you can replace a boring background, swap out a so-so sky, and remove distractions like people and power lines. With Photoshop, everyone can. I love playing with this mouse. Click or tap the banner to visit Photoshop.com and pounce on your free trial today.
Welcome back to Section 2. We're going to be looking at who's hot and who's not, which players have started the season in impressive form and which players perhaps have disappointed somewhat. I'm going to be joined in this section by Catherine, James and Ian to kick things off. Ian, you've got the facts and figures of the BRFCS Player of the Match ratings. Would you like to just take us through?
I'm delighted so to do. Yeah. Just another plug for the Match Centre in BRFCS.com. After the game, for 24 hours, you have the ability to vote and give your ratings against each player that's played in the previous game. And what we do is we collate those. We're in a position on this podcast to announce Rovers Player of the Month for August. And I think it might be a bit of a surprise. So we've got the spreadsheet up on screen. We'll talk through some of the highs and lows. Some are interesting. I think some are surprising. But in third place for August was the scorer of that audacious goal yesterday. At least he didn't try and chip the keeper this time. It's Ryan Hedges. In second place for August is Dominic Higham. And I think having won two awards in August, he might have been many people's pick for Player of the Month for August. But here is a surprise, in my opinion. But his consistency of performance, and his particularly the outstanding efforts in the first game against West Brom and yesterday's game against Watford, means that the BRFCS, supported by Rovers Trust, Player of the Month for August, is your captain, Lewis Travis.
Well, I'd like to come straight to you, Catherine. Lewis Travis, Player of the Month.
I was shocked, to be honest. And I think, I said that when it's interesting seeing all the stats down that kind of show some of the polarisation of the performances over the kind of these first few games. Consistency's been a big thing that I've struggled with since the beginning of the season. I thought Dom Higham was outstanding yesterday. Ryan Hedges was obviously outstanding. Travis, I thought, has had a bit of a... I don't know. I was picking up that he was getting a little... felt like he was getting a little bit dirty this season, to be honest. So I'm shocked that he's topping that up. But looking at some of the other performances, I'm not so shocked. And again, it's that consistency piece.
Higham and Hedges. Of course, Hedges started last season very well. Are you confident that he can keep it going this time around?
I'd like to think so. The pair of them have showed something that I think some of the others haven't, which is just some good physicality, getting stuck in and having some really positive momentum in the game. So yeah, I think Higham and Hedges I think are worthy top three.
Absolutely. James, I'll come to you next. And me and you, of course, interviewed Lewis Travis before the Girona friendly. So I think we can claim an assist, don't you, James, for Trav's fine start?
I think so. Obviously, put a spring in his step, was interviewing him. He was very good against West Brom, and he was very good. I thought he was very good yesterday. The thing I like about Travis is that he just runs until he drops, essentially. Mm. He'll give his all, and I think this season he started bringing in a few dark horse tricks as well, because he can't do his crunching tackles like normal, so he's trying to find different ways of being doing his dark horse.
We didn't teach him that, James. I did not encourage anything like that.
No. At my player of the month would have been Dom Higham. I think he's Mr. Consistent, isn't he? And Hedges, I've always said that if he had 2 feet, he'd be one of the best wingers in the league. The inability to use his right foot 99% of the time is what lets him down. I say that, and he used his right foot yesterday, so hopefully he can keep that going. I want to give a little special mention to Callum Britton, actually, because I think he's been immense. I read a stat, actually, before the Watford game that he's completed 6 successful dribbles out of all the defenders in the league, and he didn't start a league game until yesterday,
right?
Which I think is just remarkable. I think he's been brilliant. Every time he's come on as a sub, he's been brilliant. Yesterday, he was brilliant. I hope he gets his chance, and I think it'd be very difficult for Pickering to slot back in on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy for Rovers fans to forget that, isn't it? That when Callum Britton signed last year, all the Rovers fans were pretty enthused about it and pretty excited. And of course, terrible season, sort of injuries and then sort of lack of fitness. And obviously, Joran Costello coming into the squad and performing so well kind of kept him out last season, didn't it? Came back after the World Cup break, and the Preston game, he picked up an injury sort of with that quite a bad challenge, sort of jarred his knee. And hopefully this is a big season for him. Just whilst we're talking about Britton, actually, the DPD delivery driver to my work is a big Barnsley fan. And apparently he's Barnsley's equivalent of Ryan Nyambe in the sense of he's never scored. And all the Barnsley fans were wondering, when will he ever score? Does he ever score in training? Almost like the net gets smaller as he going through. So let's see if he can add a few goals to that this season. I'll come back to you, Ian, because of course where there's a ying there is a yang, and we're going to be talking about the lowest ranked players.
It seems a shame to have to call them out. I don't think the lowest scorer will be a complete surprise to anybody. I'm afraid it's Tyrese Dolan, who seems to be just having a bit of a sticky old time of it at the moment. He hasn't signed the contract, and there are people sort of speculating that his head's been turned and this, that and the other. But he's, yeah, for whatever reason, it's just not happening for him on the pitch right now. It'd be interesting to see how Thomason handles him now that Moran's come in. So he came on a sub yesterday ahead of Dylan Markenday as well, which I think is interesting. So It suggests that Dolan might have to fight for his place. How he responds to that is going to be very interesting. I think that's one that we will look out for. And poor old Harry Pickering, his scores took hammering, of course, because of the Hull City game, where I think he was generously awarded 2.5 on average by the BRCS for his 17-minute cameo performance. So I suppose, had he stayed on the pitch for another five periods of 15 minutes, then he might have got 10 out of 10, who knows. But yeah, poor old Tyrese, having a bit of a rough start.
I mean, that brings me straight back to you, Catherine. You were dying to talk about Tyrese before. Just not quite being the start of the season for him, has it?
No, and I think, you know, he's got bags of talent, hasn't he? That's the really annoying thing. But there's just a physicality lacking at the moment. And I don't know whether that's like lack of kind of grit and determination to really want to perform, or whether he's just not up to it. But I really rated him as a player, and I hope he could, you know, I know he's not the biggest, but you don't have to be, do you, to get back to being kind of one of those snappy players. And he's certainly got the skill. But I thought there was a couple of performances from others, not just yesterday, where it seems to be, you know, you need to be physical in this league. And I feel like we're going down a little bit too easily on a few occasions when it's actually just get back up and get stuck in. So I'll be really, really, I hope Dolan does bounce back, because as I say, he's got an abundance of talent. It's just looks so lightweight and off the pace at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. There is 42 games to go, as we've said, and there's plenty of time for this to be turned around. And it feels like Tyrese is very much one of those confidence players. Sort of get a goal, maybe gets one off the shin or a tap in on the line, or the old saying, off his backside or something like that. Just something just to get him off and running for the season.
The main one is obviously Dolan. I mean, I do sometimes forget that he's only 21. He's still very young. He's got bags of potential. But the thing that frustrates me the most is that when he should pass, he shoots. And then when he should shoot, he passes. He just can't seem to make that decision right. So yeah, he's the one that sticks out on a sore thumb, really.
I just wanted to sort of reiterate that about Tronstad, that I think it's a testament to how well Lewis Travis has been playing. I think it's just Tronstad was clearly brought in. I know, Ian, we were talking about it at Accrington. Tronstad was clearly in there to take Travis's place, and Travis has really stepped up to the plate and kept his spot in the side by playing really well and getting player of the month. And I wasn't too surprised by it, because I've always been a big fan of him. I think he's developed very well as a player. I think when we first saw him, I believe he got sent off on his debut off the bench at Plymouth, if I remember correctly, or against someone. It was in League One anyway. And I think he's got everything in his game now. And I think you see him adding more and more every week, or I do anyway. And I think it's definitely his progression this season, his progressive play, which is something that Tronstad clearly had over him, or I thought Tronstad had over him, which he seems to have really worked on, and he's really added to his game, which is why I think Tronstad hasn't got the minutes that perhaps we might have expected.
As we said before, there is plenty of games left to go in the season. Of course, let us know your thoughts over at brfcs.com. on the forums, where you can find the Man of the Match or the Player of the Match tools, which will be available after each and every Rovers game this coming season. Welcome back to Section 3. We're going to be having a look at transfers. And of course, it is the summer transfer window. It's currently still open, although it closes this weekend, depending on when and where you're listening to this podcast. Been a bit of a tumultuous summer, to say the least. Michael, I'll come straight to you as our sort of financial guru here, who we talked about Indian tax law with Ian on the last podcast or a couple of podcasts ago. Nothing quite seems to be what it may be, or nothing quite seems to be straightforward.
Everything I'll declare my interest here, Roger.
So I edit
a business webcast called The Business Desk Northwest. We did a summary about the finances of football of all the Northwest teams running up to the season, including that lot down the M65, who were at the bottom end of the Premier League, thank God. But with the Rovers stuff, you know, let's look at the brass tacks of it. You know, Venky's, you know, I've put 184 million quid since 2010 into Rovers, and we're still a mid-table championship club, having spent a season in League One. The wage bill, according to the last set of accounts that we analysed, is effectively there's £146 going out for every £100 that comes into the club. That's not sustainable within financial fair play rules. They don't seem to have the ability to raise more money commercially. You know, we've got a vaping company on the shirts, and we've had various betting companies. And obviously, not because of all the issues Ian described about Indian tax laws, there isn't as much money coming in from the owners, but there can't be anyway because of the financial fair play laws. What that means practically and tangibly for the manager is he's been told by the chief executive, Steve Waggett, that the financial situation has changed. They acted very quickly at the end of the season to sign the Scandinavians and Niall Ennis from Plymouth Argyle. They seemed like good signings. It seemed like all the doubts that we had about Greg Broughton and the recruitment team and the fiasco of the last transfer window, maybe they corrected a lot of those errors and shortcomings. And then it all seems to have stalled again. And there's a real frustration. I was surprised that Andrew Moran came in, obviously on loan from Brighton Hove Albion. We're all going to hope that he's going to be more of a Jean-Paul Van Hecker or a Harvey Elliott than a Tyler Morton as a lone player. It always seems to be the pattern that lone players get a lot of game time over and above our own academy players. But that pretty much seems to be the situation, and I'd be very surprised if that's all our transfer business in this window. I can imagine one or two coming in, but I don't see the money. And I think Jean-Dal Thomason knows it as well. I think his body language is speaking volumes, but that's where my expertise ends and where Catherine McNamara's begins.
Well, yeah, straight into you, Catherine, body language expert.
I think, you don't even have to read too much into the body language, because he's doing something that you would say all good leaders should do. He's managing expectations, and you can see that through his choice of language. So, you know, both in terms of his pre-match and his post-match interviews at Watford, in terms of, you know, we ain't going to be able to sustain a promotion push over the course of a season if we do not get more players in. So there's an acknowledgement that it's not an issue with the players that are there, it's the players he doesn't have that he's going to be able to, you know, do the business over a very, very tough league. And I think Thomason is playing it with such a straight bat. He's holding his hands up and he's saying, you know, I do need this money and I need this. So it's, you can, yes, you can see it in his body language, but actually I think he's got some very choice words that, you know, you can't argue with.
The squad does look very young as well, which he keeps mentioning. He's often referencing the BBC Radio Lancashire interview that Andy Bayes did with Steve Waggett, where he mentioned four players. I want to talk to you about JDT. Is keeping JDT the biggest transfer for Rovers this season, if you will, in your opinion, Catherine?
I think it will be. I think it will be. And it's gutting in a lot of respects, because he's had a good full season, and he's almost been given that promise to be given the tools that he needs. What is that as a foundation for kind of a, you know, a trustworthy partnership moving forward. That's the crux of it. And that would be my, that's my worry. We discussed this 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we said, what are the, you know, what are your odds in terms of, is he going to be here by the start of the season? Is he going to be here by Christmas? Is he going to be here by the end of the season? I don't think there's any doubt if somebody wanted to come in for him now, kind of pre-mid-season, it's going to happen because of our style of play and how he's building kind of that style of play. That just leaves us in such a precarious position. So yeah, I think that is going to be one of the key challenges for us.
Yeah, I said to my dad yesterday after the match, I said to him, it feels like Thomason is a promotion waiting to happen, whether that's with Rovers or whether that's with somebody else. We obviously hope it's with Rovers, but Ian, I'm going to come straight to you. You've sort of been in and out of this, but I'm going to talk to you about transfers, though. Who is the sort of transfer that Rovers, or what do Rovers really need in this next 5 days to keep Thomason happy, keep him at the club?
I think that's possibly the easiest question to answer, isn't it? Because it's a striker. If something, yeah, we saw it yesterday, didn't we? Gallagher have had a new baby. Congratulations, Sam. So he was on the bench, and we were thin. And I felt for Harry Leonard having to lead the line away from home against some big burly Watford defenders. You know, he did outstandingly well against West Bromwich Albion, but you can't rely on strikers not getting injured, not getting suspended. So we need somebody. I think JDT's played a really cute game because he's not said, I want money spending. He said, I want players. So I don't think he's one of those managers that expects millions of pounds to be spent. He just wants some bodies to provide competition in the squad. And what I really like about him is when there is competition in the squad, he seems to get the best out of players that are left.
Absolutely. Good, very good points. As always, Ian, James, going to come to you in terms of, let's talk about some of the names that have been linked with us.
There's not really any names that have really stuck out to me that I really want. I think the link about the Finnish striker from Venezia, Joel something, I can't remember his surname. That screamed like a good signing to me. He was 28, seemed to know where the back of the net is, but it cost $3 million, so that's out the window already. In terms of a centre-back, obviously we've been heavily linked with Danny Bath all summer. That seemed like it would have been a good signing. Defender, vastly experienced, knows how to get out of the league, did it with Wolves. Would have liked him as well, but I think that's called off now. So I think if we're going to sign anyone, it'll be someone that we've not seen a link of so far, and it'll just come straight out of the blue. But yeah, I think striker and centre back needs a look at.
It almost feels that way, doesn't it? In some respects, that if Rovers fans have heard of him, we can't afford them. So to speak, when it comes
pretty
to
much.
Oh, sorry, interestingly, that Rovers apparently somewhere, although I failed to find any links myself, but the big Watford striker that came on yesterday, Rajovic, I think his name was, the number 9, who is a big Scandinavian target man striker, in which, of course, we're all screaming out for, it seems, and yet he looked a bit dodgy, if you're asking me. I know it was only half an hour, so I'm not going to write him off completely, but he looked a bit of a championship tortoise, I would say, in my opinion. Although watch him go and get 25 goals now for Watford. Yeah. Matt, I'll come to you on this, on transfers. How important is it that Rovers get this cover in, particularly at centre-back? I mean, everyone talked about the striker, everyone's talking about, and that's as clear as day in some respects. But as James touched on there, we've been linked with centre-half, central defender all season, and more recently, a left-back cover. Of course, Jake Batty played in the League Cup, and sort of, you know, he's a young player. We can't expect too much of him. How important, in your opinion, is it that Rovers don't forget we need some cover at the back?
Yeah, I think obviously everybody is talking about needing a striker. We need to bring in a striker, and I think rightfully so. But I think Daniel Ayala will have done a lot, especially with the likes of Sam Barnes last season. I know he's recovering from injury for most of the season. But I think that the young players, and Jake Batty actually, like you said, they need that sort of role model within the squad. And with the oldest player in the squad being Ryan Hedges, and I can't think off the top of my head who the oldest defender is in the squad. I think it's Dom Higham, actually, now thinking about it. But yeah, I think we definitely need somebody at the back. We need that depth. I think Scott Wharton obviously came on yesterday. But who else is there? We got rid of Phillips, which a lot of fans weren't too happy about. And Ayala, like you've said, went on a free. But I think you look at the likes of the players that we need, they're not going to come cheap, first and foremost. You know, we like younger players at the minute, but we need an older player. I think Danny Bart was the best option out there for me. I was really hoping we got it over the line because he was everything we needed, but he didn't have any pace, which is don't think really matters because neither did Ayala. So it was, for me, it was literally a like-for-like replacement. Ross Sykes, obviously, is a big name that's been spoken about, but for me, he's not the experienced defender that we need. I think he'd be a good addition, but I think he's someone you look at if we get rid of one more defender because he's what, 20, what is he, 20, 24, 25? He's still improving himself and he'll want regular game time to do that. And if we're looking at an older player to replace Ayala, I'm not sure it's the right player for us.
It's going to be an interesting few days. Holly, I've got to come to you just to finish off the section because you are our resident sort of knowledgeable about when the transfer deadline ends. Just remind everybody on the podcast listening to this, when does the transfer window close?
It closes at 11 p.m. on Friday.
That's the 1st of September.
It is, Friday the 1st of September, 11 p.m. Yeah. I'm not confident that we'll bring anyone else in, if I'm really, really honest. I do like to err on the side of caution, and I'd like to be surprised when it comes to these things, because I think if you put your expectations up too high, then they're obviously always going to be dashed. I think we're in a really tricky situation. I think we were absolutely screwed over by Arsenal not signing Raya properly, like they should have done, because that would have injected us with that little bit of cash that we would have been able to go out and spend some. We all know the situation where it's been, we can't buy anyone until we sell someone. I think there's rumours going around that Buckley's going to be leaving because he wasn't in the team yesterday. And I just think, for me, I'll be glad when it closes because it stops all the speculation. There's been about 100 million in the no accounts on Twitter this season, all saying different things that contradict each other. So I tend just to ignore it, and I'll happily wait until the rubbish, paper ball screwed up, throwing video montage that Rovers post on Twitter just to find out what's going on. I think the cash situation is just really, really hindering us. And I think because we did all of the business really at the beginning of the window, it's almost left us at the end kind of waiting to find out what's going to happen next. And actually, I'm not sure whether there is going to be a next.
It's interesting. Some great points there, although breaking news, you will not see Holly and Linz doing the paperball chucking to each other for the next signing. That's 100% guarantee here. That's a BRFCS, 4,000 holes.
I'll make myself available. I will make myself available,
just having a look at my own just notes making again, whilst you were all talking, some very good points from across the panel. Whilst we have signed five players, we haven't actually seen a lot of the players we've already signed. Wallstedt's not played yet. Sigurdsson hasn't played yet. Moran, we saw, about 25 minutes of him yesterday at Vicarage Road. Tronstad, we've only seen the one performance. And of course, Ennis, we've not seen a full 90 minutes from yet either. So, you know, the cliched, it feels like a new signing. Perhaps the new signings will feel like new signings, even if there isn't any more additions to come. But I'm sure a lot will change between now and the deadline closing, which is Friday, 1st of September at 11 p.m. UK time. So keep the Twitter or X accounts active. Let's hope the fax machine is working this summer. And who knows, maybe in some strange world, we might sign Lewis O'Brien, because as soon as we fire up the fax machine, it might finish the fax from January. And who knows? We never know. But of course, we'd be interested in hearing your thoughts, and a mega thread on the BRFCS.com forums, over 1,100 pages long, the biggest thread I've ever seen on the forums in my sort of 20 years of being on there. So, of course, get involved with us over there. Let us know who you'd like to see. And cast your eye over the In The Know. That's what the ITK that a few of the panelists were referencing there. The In The Knowers. And maybe we should do a poll at the end of that on who was the most accurate over the summer transfer period. So that's the end of section three. Stick around for section four, where we'll come back to Ian for a little quiz.
Hi, it's Hayden Carter here. This is the 4,000 Holes podcast.
Welcome back to section four of the 4,000 Hole podcast, the What Now show, where we're going to have a little quiz. And I'm going to go throw it straight over to Mr. Ian Herbert. Ian, take it away.
Thank you very much, Roger. Yeah, so we all remember that famous day at Ewood Park in May 2018, where we celebrated promotion and Steve Waggett celebrated the gate receipts of the day. There were 11 Rovers players that took the field at 3 o'clock. We made three substitutions, and there are three players in the Oxford United lineup on the day that had Rovers connections. So I'm looking for 17 names, and it's going to be get one wrong and you drop out kind of thing. We're going to go round. It's last person standing wins my undying respect. So Blackburn Rovers versus Oxford back in May 2018, 11 players, three substitutes and three in the Oxford United team with Rovers connections. I'm going to go round my Zoom window and I'm going to start at the top left with James. So James, fire a name out, please.
Darren Lenihan.
Correct. Roger.
Jack Payne.
Came on as substitute in the 74th minute. Correct. Matt Grimshaw.
Charlie Mulgrew.
Charlie Mulgrew. Correct. Catherine McNamara.
Bradley Dack.
You're not going to believe this, are you? You're not going to believe this. You're out, I'm afraid, because Bradley Dack didn't play. Michael Taylor. Did you invade the pitch on this one, or was it just Doncaster that you went on the pitch for?
I absolutely reject that vicious slur, Mr. Herbert. Yes, of course I was on the pitch at Doncaster. That was different. This was Ewood Park. Joe Rothwell.
Joe Rothwell is one of the Oxford United Blackburn Rovers connections. Correct. Nice one. Holly, over to you.
Michael took my answer, so thank you, Michael. I'm going to go for Corey Evans.
Corey Evans is correct. We're back to the beginning and round two now, so we've only lost one in that first pass, and that was Catherine. Back to you, James, for your second attempt.
Marcus Antonsen, is that how you say his name?
Came on as a substitute in the 78th minute, correct. Roger, your second guess.
Richie Smallwood.
The King of Ewood, of course. He was King of Ewood that very day. Matt, your second guess.
I'm going to take a bit of a risk, and I'm going to go for Eastwood, Simon Eastwood.
Oh, he's showing off here. That's one of the Oxford United Blackburn Rovers connections. So two out of those three have now gone. And we come to Michael for his second guess.
Danny Graham.
Danny Graham did indeed start. Holly, your second guess.
Captain Fantastic, Elliot Bennett.
Spot on. He too started. This is going rather well. James, third guess.
Adam Armstrong.
Adam Armstrong started. Well done. Roger.
Merrick Williams.
You didn't give him his full Tony Mowbray name there, thank
you.
Everyone was saying it in their head.
Yes, if you can all just imagine that, it saves me a lot of editing. Matt, your next guess.
Has anybody said Dominic Samuel yet?
They have not, until you've just mentioned him.
Yeah,
Is that your guess?
That's my guess then, yeah.
Dom Sam played, correct. Michael, we need another name from you.
I'm going to go Carl Robinson, Oxford's manager.
No, I'm not having that. So three in the starting lineup, I said. So I'm afraid if you can't guess, I'll give you a chance to guess a player. We've mentioned two of them in tonight's recording.
I'm going to go Elliot Ward.
No, I understand why I went there, but you two are out, I'm afraid. Holly, can you stay in for the next round?
David Raya.
Correct. That's one of the names that we mentioned earlier. James, back to you. There are two Rovers names not yet mentioned and a Oxford United connection. Anyone who gets the third Oxford United connection is doing really rather well.
I'm going to go for the Oxford connection.
Go on.
Has Todd Kane played for Oxford as well?
We are not worthy. We are not worthy. Well done. I didn't think anybody would get that, although having said that, Todd Kane has been on loan at 78 of the 92.
He's been on loan in so many clubs now. Absolutely,
that is brilliant. To get him before the two remaining Rovers players that we haven't named yet is quite something. Pressure's on, Roger.
Ryan Nyambe.
He's one of them. Matt?
One
name.
Is it... Now, again, I think I'm
it's struggling. It's Advantage March remember. Here. It's Advantage March.
I'm struggling to remember who's been said and who hasn't been said.
Right. Well, let's see. Raya, Nyambi, Williams, Evans, Lenehan, Mulgrew, Bennett, Smallwood, Payne, Graham, Armstrong, Antonsen, and Dom Sam.
Right. I'm going to go for Amari Bell. Did he play?
Spot on. Well done, sir. Really, really well done. So that's the 17 names. So I have my auxiliary question for just such an eventuality.
Can this be from before Matt and James were born, preferably? And then I am out of the chance.
No, it's not Rovers related. It's Northern football related.
Oh, no.
So the 20 most Northern professional football teams in the EFL or the Premier League?
Sunderland.
Carlisle.
I'm going to say Barrow, or as my mate from uni calls it, Barrow.
Yeah. Holly?
Newcastle.
James?
Hartlepool?
No, they're not in the Football League. You've gone. You've gone. Roger?
Morecambe.
Correct.
Middlesbrough?
Correct. Holly?
I'm going to go easy and go Man United.
No.
It's higher then. Right. Yeah. That gives everything away.
Yeah. So we are now left with Roger and Matt. Roger, back to you.
Fleetwood.
Correct. Who paid attention in geography? This is
I did a geography degree, so this is coming in.
I have to say, geography is not my strong point.
Still plenty to go at. We've got seven so far.
I don't know. Blackpool.
Correct. Roger?
If Blackpool
so Manchester's too far south, Blackpool's
yeah,
okay.
So I'm quite confident now. Harrogate.
Correct.
Burnley.
Correct.
Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z.
Correct. You're all opening up Apple Maps now on your phone, huh?
No, my hands are here. This is right up my street, this sort of question.
Back to you, Matt.
I'm going to have to say Rovers. I can't think of anyone else.
Hull.
Just.
Preston?
Yeah.
Accrington?
Yeah.
I don't want to give up, but...
As an audio feature, it's losing its appeal if you stay silent for 20 minutes.
I'll just say Oldham.
No. Sadly not. So, well done, Roger. You are our quiz champion of this episode. You could have had Bradford City...
Thank you.
Could have had Huddersfield Town. You could have had Wigan. You could have had Barnsley. And you could have had Bolton Wanderers.
So Bolton is the...
So the cutoff is Manchester. Kind of like that. That's the latitude. That's
Huddersfield were going to be my next one. I completely forgot all about Bradford, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. Well done.
And there you go. Hopefully you enjoyed this week's little quiz efforts there from Ian. Thank you, Ian, for those. Don't forget you can get involved with the podcast on the brfcs.com forums. You can also find us on Twitter. And, of course, keep a keen eye on those and on the numerous sites for this week's transfer news, which we've all got our fingers crossed here on the podcast for this evening. Thanks for joining us once again. Thank you to Michael, Catherine, Holly, Matt, James, and Ian. Hope you've enjoyed it. This has been another edition of the 4000 Halls What Now Show podcast. Until next time, see you soon. Bye.
Sorry, I think I got a roll of paper for the fax machine this time.
Hey, who had fax machine? Ding, 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 ding. You're the winner. I'll come to you, man. Are we ready?
Hi, Lewis Travis here. Just wanted to say I'm listening to 4000 Holes podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.